Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
And welcome back to Redacted. Welcome into the show. I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris.
And this is the show where we get banned for telling the truth. We are back here on YouTube for the first time in a week. You know, it's because we cover stories that the big corporate media, big tech oligarchs don't want us to cover. Because they'd rather keep you in the dark about it. They'd rather keep you ignorant about it. They'd rather control speech. They'd rather keep you obedient about it. And it's very easy for Twitter and for YouTube and these big tech companies to block speech rather than deal with dissenting voices.
Now, we want to say we tried to handle this professionally. Last week on Tuesday, we were speaking to you here on the show when our stream was just cut off. We thought, oh, maybe we had a power outage or an internet outage. And then we got a notice from YouTube that the show from the day before is what that they had marked as unacceptable, what they were calling medical disinformation. Now, what we were covering was the release of Pfizer's own documents of the first 3 months of their COVID vaccine administration. So we were looking at that data, and we were asking questions. We were covering Pfizer's documents from Pfizer.
From their website.
When we asked YouTube to review, the video in question was about 10 minutes long, and YouTube, within less than 10 minutes, said, no, this video's will not be reviewed. This call stands.
No. They did review it. They labeled it medical misinformation. They labeled it medical misinformation. And when we appealed the video, within 10 minutes, like we said, it was a 10 minute long video. We appealed it, and it took us even like 5 minutes to write the appeal. They only give you, Philip, what is it, like 800 characters? You can't even, like...
Yeah, it was pretty ridiculous how little they want you to appeal.
I mean, in our appeal, we explained that here's what happened. We were talking about the newly released documents from Pfizer, from a court order that are confirmed by the CDC, right? And so we covered that story. We did that story, and we appealed it. And the video was about 11 minutes long. And within, like, I don't know, like 4 minutes, the appeal was rejected for medical misinformation. So clearly whatever artificial intelligence did the review didn't actually review the video.
Right. And so we used this as a positive to find a new audience over on Rumble. We continued to stream on Twitch. We continued to stream on Facebook. We really appreciate a new audience that we've been able to find and interact with. We love hearing those voices, and we are also very happy to see the old voices back. Now, when we did ask YouTube, can you tell us specifically what here violated their terms of service? I think it's interesting because if you're not a content creator, you might not know that YouTube has no burden of proof to tell you which specific piece they find objectionable. Sometimes they do if it's like Joe Rogan, right? But we are not Joe Rogan. And so we didn't actually get any explanation. That is normally the way. Last summer, something similar happened when we covered the fact that vaccines did not seem to be stopping the spread of COVID. That is true. We now all universally accept that. The show in question that was blocked was something where we asked, do these vaccines seem to be stopping the spread of COVID? Doesn't seem like it. And that also got us a strike. So it's interesting because this is the second time this has happened to us specifically around what we can say about COVID. We are not trying to spread any information at all other than what we all universally can find and ask questions that are uncomfortable. So it does seem like the mainstream media is applauding this shut down the little guy, right? Because they sort of fall lockstep in what we are supposed to think is just do whatever the government tells you when it comes to the pandemic.
It's fucking amazing if you think about it.
You can't say it. You said F word.
Yeah. Hey, guess what?
We can say that now?
We can say that.
Okay.
You know, I, again, the thing is, like, you can't really dance around. We're going to continue to cover these stories here on this show, and we should be angry about it. When a major pharmaceutical company comes out, I'm not going to say which name it is, comes out and actually lies about data, hides data, and the American people deserve to know that data. By the way, that video that we did where we covered that data went viral. It was starting to go viral. I got a lot of people reached out to me, said, we shared this with our friends because no one else is covering that. Actually, that might not be the case. People might have been covering it, but have been blocked or banned from covering that story.
Yes.
So we did, and we're going to continue to cover these stories here. And come what may, we reached out. We're journalists. We spent 20 years of my life as a journalist. So I wrote to the press team at Google. I said, can you please explain what the hell happened here?
Yeah.
Why exactly are you blocking these voices? And you have to wonder, when you have a big company, these big pharmaceutical companies that are owned by Vanguard and BlackRock, and these two companies run the world. They own every company. They can get on the phone. They can call up. They can call up the head of Google. Say, hey, YouTube, there's a video that's going viral with our name in it. That's telling the truth about what's going on with our medical documents for this vaccine. Can you make that video go away, please? Boom, done. Like, that's just one simple phone call among tech oligarchs.
I mean, that's conjecture, right? But it does seem like, I mean, you know, I've been recently thinking about the works of Ben Bagdikian, who had warned us that so much media concentrated in so few hands would result in us having a less impartial and fair and honest media. And back when he wrote this book 20, 30 years ago, right, there were about 50 corporations that control the media. Now there's about 5. It's worse. And this just seems to be the way. Now, it's interesting, when we moved to Rumble, we were able to talk about, you know, we're not the kind of people, we're not pot stirrers. That's not our aim. We just want to ask uncomfortable questions.
With facts, backed by facts.
Right.
And data.
And so we had a lovely time continuing to do our show on Rumble.
And we're there right now live, and yes, we will continue to be on Rumble. Hello to all of our Rumblers over there. We've got hundreds watching right now.
But I did hear some people say, like, oh, well, you're just going where crazy people can speak then. Like, oh, that's too bad. They have, and I was like, that's so interesting. Based on what are you saying this, right? And I have the same sort of bias against certain news outlets, that Clayton will show me a story and I'm like, no, we're not doing that. That's from this place. But I am willing to look into certain things. I think the platform is less important right now than the concentration of media.
So let's talk about Rumble, okay? Let's talk about what has unfolded over at Rumble. Now, Rumble is one of those, and to everyone watching right now, I want you to understand something, right? The context here. We were banned from YouTube. Now, 2 weeks this has happened to us for reporting the truth, okay? That's available on the CDC's website. Going through their documents on the air, live, their documents, us covering that story, we were banned and cut off, okay? We go to Rumble. They welcome us with open arms. They say, we don't censor speech here. You can say whatever you want. We don't censor you. So you can bring your show over to Rumble. We did, and we've had an amazing time, and thank you to these people. Now, it's amazing, because anytime a channel like this or a company is starting to get bigger and bigger and bigger, now they become a target for woke journalists. They become a target for corporatists who want to censor speech. And that's what's happened to Rumble. So Rumble tweeted today and shared some amazing information about how they have journalists reaching out to them, asking them, why are you not censoring certain voices? Here is what they tweeted today, and this is astonishing. Here's what Rumble tweets. Here are emails we received from the Globe and Mail, demanding to know why we aren't dutifully copying YouTube censorship. It is now common that we receive pressure from journalists demanding that we censor more. See the next tweet for Rumble's response. So then they shared a series. I love that they shared these emails, by the way. These are emails that were sent to Rumble, to the press team at Rumble, from a reporter at the Globe and Mail.
This is actually the follow-up. Do you have the first one?
Let me grab the first
one. The first one says, "Hi, I'm Joe from the Globe and Mail. I'm working on an article about how Rumble has not taken down RT's account. Now, in context, YouTube and Instagram and Facebook and Twitter and Spotify have all sought to block content from RT because they say that it is Russian propaganda. That is not necessarily true. In our experience, RT is just as much a journalistic arm as, say, Fox News, CNN, or whatever. Now, we can argue how much those pieces are journalistic arms. But we have noticed in our experience that they have real reporters at RT, and they do some real journalism.
Excellent journalism.
But because Russia is in the title and is the origin of the news outlet, many are accusing them of being a mouthpiece of Vladimir Putin. And it's interesting because you must then read the content to accuse them of that. But okay, so let's not debate what RT is or is not. What the issue is here is this journalist is saying, why are you not following in line with this protocol? So they're saying, are you going to do this? When are you going to do this? Please respond. And then the follow-up email, now the next one, please, says, you know, just for some content, I have these quotes here that's sort of context to my story. I feel like this is a journalistic mistake to have done this because it gives away what, I mean, the first one was...
Well, explain what people are seeing here.
Okay, this is a follow-up to that email from the same guy, Joe.
Okay.
Right? And he's saying, just for some context, I'm also have some other people here who are going to say the following. So these two bullet points you have is, this CEO from this UK nonprofit is saying that Rumble is doing Putin a big favor by hooking up its users to a steady drip feed of Kremlin lies and propaganda. And then I also have this other guy who's an academic who says Rumble's business model says that, you know, they can't block things because they rely on fringe groups. And so these are the stories that these are the comments I'm using. So he's given away his angle, right? If he was really doing a real story on, okay, I went to journalism school too, so I know if you are really going to do a real story on censorship in the media and big tech taking down certain voices, then you should also take a look at not just why Rumble will not do it, but why is big tech doing it, right? What, not just why someone's not, but why are they doing it? Because otherwise it's a leading story saying this was the right thing to do and they're not doing the right thing. And then it's this journalist who's saying what is the right thing. And who is he to tell us all what the right thing is? I retweeted this and I said, well, I hope that this Joe guy will also talk about why big tech is censoring and also get a quote from an academic who wants to talk about the free marketplace of ideas, maybe who's read Ben Bagdikian. I don't know. That's a good place to start, right? But this guy gave away his angle by sort of salivating over what he thinks are damning quotes. And I find it, as a journalist, really offensive and outrageous.
Well, like Derek in the chat says, you know, but not everyone is going to come over to Rumble, though, Clayton. Some of us don't want to move accounts or can't get there to chat. I totally understand that. Some people are
stuck. That's why we're back here with you. That's why we came back.
We're here on YouTube until we get banned again. You know, we're here. We're going to use every platform available to us to get out this news and this message. So I don't care if it's, it has five watchers. It doesn't matter. We're going to use that platform. And it's really infuriating, though, that journalists would, it absolutely is showing their colors and their stripes to reach out. And here's the guy, by the way, here's the journalist. And I love this tweet. He looks exactly how you think he looks.
But let's not make fun of how people look. That's not context here. But I think that
don't be condescending. He looks exactly how I think he would
look. Let's let him be condescending. Yes, he looks a bit smug, but like, I don't want that to be, we don't make fun of how people look because even if they say something stupid, like,
okay,
we're going to judge actions here, but okay, I get the point that he does look like a smug punk,
mm-hmm.
But let's not do that.
Who gets to
just
tell you,
take his picture down.
Who gets to tell you how the world looks and how the world operates? This is the guy. right? So why are you not censoring just like YouTube is and taking down voices and removing, you know, and removing speech from the internet? Why aren't you doing that? And so Rumble then also sent a follow-up here, which is there is a reason the public has radically turned against both the big corporate media, such as your outlet, and big tech, because you have arrogantly claimed for yourselves the power to decide for the public what information they can and cannot be trusted to hear and what views they can and cannot express. By stark contrast, the reason Rumble is growing so rapidly is because we trust adults to make decisions for themselves about what ideas they can express, and we trust them to make up their own minds after hearing all sides. And someone in our chat a little bit earlier, I think Beyond 2080 in our chat says, this isn't hard. We just want to hear all voices. Yeah, we just want to hear
all. No, they think we're too stupid. That's what they think of us.
Right.
Is that we should not be able to hear all voices because we cannot discern. Now, I get it that the internet is a confusing place, but I don't think that it changes the idea of a free marketplace of ideas in which even the idiots, you know, can talk. Everybody should be able to talk because the truth should be obvious to rational thinking people. Unfortunately, there's not that many rational thinking people, and we just sort of believe what the internet tells us because, I don't know, we just do.
Well, so we still, right now, our channel has a channel violation, active community guidelines strike. And when we asked Google's press team about this, no response, no answer, nothing, nada. And for spreading misinformation, medical misinformation is what we're still charged with here.
Yeah, there is no crime either. There's no court. We can't, you know.
Yeah, we can't. I mean, and who do you talk to? That's the problem when you get these big. And that's why everyone is freaking out, right? All of the liberals and the, you know, MSNBC and CNN, they're all freaking out now, right now, about what will Elon Musk do with Twitter? You know, if he literally gets total control of Twitter, which it seems like that's what the angle is happening right now, that he would literally open up the floodgates and allow people to have free speech. Wouldn't that be amazing? Wouldn't that be absolutely amazing?
I mean, I think that this free speech argument is, you know, it's been taken so far because, of course, not all speech is protected. Hate speech is not protected. Speech that incites violence is not protected, right? But the idea will continue to be that when those pieces are removed, that we can tell the difference. And big tech is telling us that we cannot. Right? You cannot, like, we're babies. Sorry, you can't see that, like, keeping an R-rated movie away from your children.
I know personally, I don't trust myself to come up with my own opinion, so I appreciate YouTube letting me know what is and is not.
Right. Okay. And does it also tell you what landfill toys to buy your children to make them
Yes,
love you?
I wish it would tell me when to go to bed because I haven't slept in months. I can't figure that out for myself either.
This does remind me of Noam Chomsky's quote, "Smart way to keep people passive and obedient is to strictly limit the spectrum of acceptable opinion, but allow very lively debate within that spectrum." What do you think of that?
Yeah, I think that's exactly what's happening. I found this Thomas Jefferson quote today as I was just thinking about, like, John Milton, and he said, even Thomas Jefferson said that it is safe to tolerate error of opinion where reason is left to combat it. So, like, you have to let people think wrongly, even if, I mean, you don't get to decide what's somebody else's truth, right? It's just a perversion of what you get to see based on the privilege of platform.
Especially when it's not even like government censorship. This is just a corporation deciding that they're trying to toe the line of the government as far as they see it. Like, it's one of those weird things where who's really running the ship?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and we know that these big tech oligarchs run the ship. I mean, all speech funnels through them. And so we as voters are, we're getting a distilled version of what we are allowed to see and hear and think, right? I mean, we're being basically told what to think by these big tech companies because of the content that they allow us to see. So the newspapers that we see, the Facebook feeds that we get, the Twitter streams that we get, the YouTube videos that are surfaced to us and those that are suppressed, it's all part of that. Comes back to that Noam Chomsky quote, which is that we are given a spectrum and we are allowed to fight within that spectrum, But as soon as you say, as soon as you're over here, like maybe even our show, right, on this show, Redacted, where we're covering stuff that's uncomfortable, it's outside of the spectrum. No. We can't have that. We can't have people questioning big pharmaceutical companies. We can't have people questioning the status quo in Washington, D.C. We can't have people questioning whether or not we should be sending an additional $800 million of military aid like President Biden just announced this afternoon. You shouldn't question that. You got to stick to this.
Right. I mean, traditional media seemed to be threatened when the internet age came up and popped up all kinds of different programming, right? But they're just sort of picking up where traditional media left off, where TV broadcasters now have this sort of extension of the same interests on mainstream technology. So yeah, we need another, you know, another acronym, initialism, this MSM is, you know, what people call the mainstream media, like, oh, the MSM, now it's mainstream tech, who's has the same agenda.
Ula Hula in our chat says more Pfizer data is being released every week by the Freedom of Information Act. So logic would reason the worst info will be released last. Possibly. I mean, they have to release all of it, 11,000 pages a week for 8 months. So
how are we going to do this? We're going to cover it through interpretive dance.
Right. Well, maybe we just won't use. The sad part is we want to get this information out. And I had people on Twitter reaching out to me saying, hey, because you covered that story, I shared it with my brother. I shared it with my family. And I wanted to go share it again. Now it's gone. It's disappeared. It's down. I'm like, well, go over to Rumble. It's up there. You can go watch it on Rumble. This is what we got banned for. But we have to you have to walk on eggshells with Google right now. And it's absolutely absurd. And doesn't appear that it's going to change anytime soon. All right, let's head north of the border, shall we? Let's talk about the Republic of Canada and our good friend Justin Trudeau up there, who has spotted some slippage, you'll recall. Remember, he was really concerned about democracies slipping backwards because, you know, we've had this long march of democracy and you start to see it in little ways. He warned us about this, right? Could it be maybe the seizure of bank accounts for those people that don't agree with your politics, the seizing of their trucks and the Freedom Convoy, perhaps the forcing people to get vaccines?
Or stealing donated money.
Right.
That kind of thing.
Is that slippage? Is that the slippage you're talking about? Well, you know that Justin Trudeau and his administration are absolutely apoplectic when it comes to disinformation and misinformation. They will go to great lengths to make sure that you are not spreading disinformation or misinformation in Canada when their very own government has been caught doing the exact same thing. Yet now, journalists who apply for a journalism license, and this is amazing, in Canada, you have to apply for a journalism license in order to, you can still be a journalist and practice journalism. It's not illegal to practice journalism there yet, but you have to apply. It's like getting a fishing license in a way, right? Or driver's license. If you want to be a journalist in Canada, you have to apply for a license. And the reason you would apply for a license because you get tax benefits for it. Mm. Enormous tax benefits for being an actual journalist in the eyes of the government. The only problem is that if you say anything that goes outside of that is critical of the Justin Trudeau government,
full taxation for you.
You will not be given a license. Yeah, basically, you will not be granted journalism. So you literally have to go up and kiss the
feet. You're not granted journalism.
You're not granted journalism. You can't. You have to kiss the feet of the king in order to be granted become a journalist. That's unbelievable.
It just seems like a page out of, even in the Build Back Better bill, we talked about it on this show, Build Back Better had all kinds of tax credits for mainstream media organizations. Big media, not just little media. And this just seems like a page out of the same playbook. Like, you don't get, you know, favorable taxation unless you say things about us that are favorable.
So Rebel News is the organization that we want to focus on in this segment, because one of their reporters had the opportunity actually to ask Justin Trudeau a question about a latest court order that... I don't know how we best describe this, but basically they're fighting it. Rebel News was turned down for getting this journalism license. They were told, basically, you spread disinformation and misinformation, so we're not going to give you a journalism license.
Yes.
Really? No, they've just been critical of the Trudeau regime and cataloging and detailing all of their misinformation and overreach and overstep. So one of their reporters managed this question of Justin Trudeau, and listen to his response.
That I'm allowed to ask you this question is because today the federal court ruled that the government doesn't have the right to determine who is or is not a journalist. This is the second election in a row that the court had to overturn your government. Do you still insist on being able to make that decision, and why?
First of all, questions around accreditation were handled by the Press Gallery and the consortium of networks who have strong perspectives on quality journalism and the important information that is shared with Canadians. The reality is organizations like yours that continue to spread misinformation and disinformation on the science around vaccines, around how we're going to actually get through this pandemic and be there for each other and keep our kids safe, is part of why we're seeing such unfortunate anger and lack of understanding of basic science. And quite frankly, your, I won't call it a media organization, your group of individuals need to take accountability for some of the polarization that we're seeing in this country. And I think Canadians are cluing into the fact that there is a really important decision we take about the kind of country we want to see. And I salute all extraordinary, hardworking journalists that put science and facts at the heart of what they do and ask me tough questions every day.
The media organization at issue in this clip, of course, you just heard from the reporter who asked Justin Trudeau and got a condescending response. I'm not going to label you a media organization. You are beneath that because you spread disinformation and misinformation. Meanwhile, his very own administration was caught doing that very same thing, of course, never mind all of that.
He all but spit on him. Yeah. His look at him like, ugh, what you say, you should take responsibility.
Go home, little girl. Go home, little girl, with your question. You shouldn't even be allowed to ask me.
I actually thought that it was refreshing that he didn't pretend to be nice to them.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I hate you and I'm going to act like it.
So the head of this company, of Rebel News, spoke out about this last night on Tucker and had a comments about being labeled misinformation and disinformation, is worried that this is actually going to progress even beyond where we currently are. Listen.
Trudeau announced that he is going to compel Facebook and Google to downrank non-licensed journalists like us and boost his trusted, friendly journalists. So we're going to be hidden, and he's going to compel the internet giants to punish us. He's also changing the Income Tax Act to punish us. If you have a government license, your subscribers can write off their subscription at tax time. If you're an independent journalist like us, no dice. Of course, there are hundreds of millions of dollars that he is hosing with a fire hose at his trusted licensed journalists, and he's now compelling Google and Facebook to fund journalists too. So now you've got literally 99% of Canadian media companies that are dependent on Justin Trudeau and soon Google and Facebook for a huge chunk of their revenues. There's no way those journalists can be free and independent. We're not banned yet, although we are banned from government events, as you said earlier. But I'm worried that he's done all this in 2 years. The worst is yet to come. He may well ban
him after that. I mean, this is astonishing that you have a government get on the phone, call up Sundar Pichai at Google and say, hey, go ahead and downrank these guys.
Yeah.
So when people go searching for information about the Freedom Convoy, you won't be able to find it. That's how many of you found our channel, by the way, in Canada, was that you couldn't get accurate information about what was unfolding in your own country because news sources were being suppressed and downranked and hidden. And this is exactly what's happening here to these news organizations. It's really, really troubling.
It is. Well, we're going to talk about more troubling news, specifically as it relates to war and weaponry in Ukraine. But first, we're going to tell you about our show sponsor over at Thuma.
That's right. So our friends over at Thuma, this is amazing. You know, we spend a lot of time in the bedroom, and there's a lot of great things that can happen in the bedroom, including like having meetings, right? You can be kicking back on a Zoom meeting. Think about the way that this pandemic has changed our lives. You could do a meditation. I love to do a nice meditation in our room. And thanks to Thuma, they make these beautiful, beautiful, beautiful bedrooms that allow you to just create an amazingly comfortable space with beautiful upcycled wood, handcrafted, eco-friendly designs, beautiful sophistication. They've got subtle, soft curves, clean lines, really beautiful to help you elevate any space. They have a really minimal design, which I really love too. Look at this. It's a Japanese-inspired works here with this Japanese joinery, so you don't have like big nails sticking out of stuff. It helps elevate any space. It's super supportive for your mattress. Really, really beautiful. Made for how you live, right? I mean, we like to sit and have, like, read books, right?
Yes, I do.
And
Have coffee. Not parent my children.
Yeah, you know, that's one thing we like to do on a Saturday morning. We like to sit in the bed and just grab our books.
And hide from our kids.
And we've had our kids now, we've taught them how to make us a delicious French press coffee and bring it to us while we're sitting there reading books in bed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this is amazing. And Thuma is the way to do it. They have beautiful side tables. You have a beautiful night table right next to the bed. Thuma works with the One Tree Planted company to plant one tree for every bed and nightstand sold. And all of their essentials are Green Guard Gold certified. This is really important for Natalie, which is you don't want to be surrounded by like any kinds of chemicals or any kind of toxicity in your bed. And that's why Thuma does all sorts of focus on making sure that your bedroom environment is eco-friendly and green guarded to make sure that you're not getting some chemical infused product.
Yes, especially so you don't have allergens in the things that are around you. It's important, especially for my daughter who sees an allergist regularly.
Yeah, so you can elevate any space. Really, really beautiful, super supportive mattresses, breathable, made to naturally minimize noise, create space. So if you're on a Zoom call in your really comfortable space, you don't hear like squishing around in the bed. It's really, really great. Anyway, I want you to go check this out. Create the feeling of checking into your favorite boutique hotel suite, but at home with the bed by Thuma. Check out this amazing bed and go to thuma.co. Okay, remember, it's CO. It's not that COM. It's CO, thuma.co/invest. And use the code INVEST to receive a $25 credit towards your purchase of the bed, plus free shipping in the continental United States. That's thuma.co/invest. And enter the word INVEST at checkout for a $25 credit. thuma.co/invest and enter the code INVEST at checkout. Our thanks to Thuma for supporting the show and supporting our backs and our habits. Beautiful, beautiful bed.
All right. Well, as the war continues in Ukraine, the United States continues to find ways to send money to Ukraine and also weaponry. Now, this is not charitable, despite what the United States would have you think. In fact, just last week, the Senate unanimously passed the Ukraine Democracy Defense Lend Act of 2022. Catchy name there. It has not passed the House yet, but most likely will, since all aid to Ukraine seems to have bipartisan support. But what it will do will create a lend-lease program where we can send over weaponry, kind of like a rent-to-own, right?
Right.
You can drive this tank for a while. You can, with zero money down, but we will come up with the terms of repayment and you can believe that those terms will be beneficial to us.
That's right. And what's amazing about this is think about how you literally put a country into massive debt for war. That's exactly what's happening here. Benjamin Norton tweeted this, debt trap alert. The U.S. Senate unanimously passed a lend-lease program that threatens to trap Ukraine in debt in return for U.S. aid to fight a proxy war in Russia. Britain did not pay off its 1945 lend-lease debt until 2006, and it sabotaged the pound sterling. Think about that for a minute. So you want to help Ukraine, Okay, we all want to help and support, make sure that people aren't being slaughtered, right? The best thing forward is to not be continuing to send an unbelievable amount of weapons into this region, right? That's something I think we all support. Well, one thing you could do is to not also put a country massively into debt and drive their economy into the ground by forcing them to take out huge loans in perpetuity so that they can continue to fund this endless war. But it's amazing. On the one hand, they continue to take out these massive loans from these banks that are supported, you know, by the United States. So they're making all kinds of money on these interest payments for war. And,
yes.
And the military-industrial complex is making billions of dollars off of taxpayer dollars for contracts to fund this war. I mean, do you guys not see what's happening here? It's
yes.
disgusting. And this is really the story. I think you want to talk about Putin bad. Yes, absolutely. He's a bad guy. This is the real story here. Follow the money trail. Follow
right.
the money in this and see this all unfolding before your eyes.
I like this comment from Kevin Michael Reed. He says, interesting, rather than let Russia enslave Ukraine, the U.S. will financially enslave Ukraine. And that absolutely is what will happen because there's no talk of canceling the debt payments.
No.
Especially if, you know, these types of things can go on for decades. Right now, this is separate from the $1.7 billion in aid that we've already sent over there. You know, will we get an accounting for it? Who knows, right? Do we have enough? In fact, Wall Street is saying, well, we do have enough weapons to send over either on a loan or give them maybe the ones we don't want, right? But then we have to rebuild our own stocks. So this will not only benefit the United States government, which can now spread its hegemony through debt, but also weapons makers, which will have to replenish those stocks.
It's really, really disgusting. And I have to say, you know, if you look at this, keeping these countries in debt over your wars in perpetuity, you know, it leaves them literally like kissing the boots of,
yes.
of the king on a
rate. Yeah.
Caitlin Johnstone says, plunge your nation into debt to the United States for the privilege of fighting a proxy war for the United States. Yes, exactly.
So,
she always nails it.
I don't understand what are you betting on, though? Like, what are you betting will be there to pay you back at this point? Because I don't know if the United States has an idea of what this government will be when this is, like, is this even a good loan, right?
Right.
It doesn't make sense to me. Well, I can't put together, it's like a bunch of frayed pieces of rope that I can't seem to connect other than the fact that, like, sure, this sort of makes sure another nation is in debt with the U.S. dollar. So it continues this Cold War about which currency in the world is the default currency, and it helps to spread it further and further east. That part I get.
There's a great piece, and Benjamin Norton points this out, by Michael Hudson, who over at the Multipolarista, economist Michael Hudson lays out how the United States empire subordinated the British economy after World War II, trapping it in debt with the Lend-Lease program and the Anglo-American loan. And this forced the convertibility of the pound sterling into the dollar at an overvalued rate. Basically, hey, we're your friend, but not really. Like, we'll help you in this war, but not really. You're just going to be in debt to us up until 2006. Imagine that student loan balance that you can't pay off.
Well, it's interesting because you see the European Union sending money too, right? Mm-hmm. And you see NATO continuing to creep into Ukraine, even though they're saying they're only sort of supporting on the periphery. And NATO operates, you know, on the U.S. dollar as well. And so it helps to sort of spread this Western economy further and further east.
Well, and meanwhile, today, President Biden, shortly before our show, announcing another $800 million in military aid to Ukraine, more weapons, more bombs, the like, all coming into Ukraine. So this will continue to flow.
Isn't it funny how we just passed a bill to fund the government because we had taken on more debt than was legally allowed? But when it's something the government wants, like war, we found some money in our back pocket, in a shoe, in a coat you hadn't worn since last year, right? That seems to be the way. Well, I see you in the chat room, all of you who are pointing out that the United States cannot take care of its own people, a la prescription drugs, education, Medicare, healthcare, nothing, right? But
right.
War, we got it. We got you covered.
Well, Claire Daly, we featured her here on the show before. She's been an outspoken opponent of war and additional money to war, and she's laughed at. She's laughed at in Ireland for her stance on this. She's a member of the European Parliament. She's an independent. She calls herself a socialist, and she's absolutely stands against war. Well, she spoke out just yesterday on funneling more money and more weapons into this region. So here she is, Claire Daly, speaking about this. I have to route this through a different way than I would like to, so just give me one second here. Here is Claire Daly.
I'm asking you to tell me any circumstance in which NATO has played a productive role or delivered peace anywhere. History has taught us that sanctions do not end military conflict. They do not bring peace. They make the people suffer, not the oligarchs, the people of Russia, the people of Europe. And they're not going to help save lives, because the more arms you pump into Ukraine, the more the war will be prolonged, the more Ukrainians will die. And it might sound radical, colleagues, but the answer to war is not more war, it's peace. And peace isn't delivered by the barrel of a gun. It's delivered by diplomacy, by dialogue. You can wish away your continent's history, but we share a continent with Russia. We will sit down with Russia. There will be a negotiated peace, and this organization should be promoting it earlier rather than delaying it and making sure that more Ukrainians die. Your feigning of sympathy rings hollow. It makes me sick, to be honest with you.
He's going home. He's like,
yeah, he gets up. Have you seen the longer clip? He literally gets up and leaves.
Yeah. He's like, yeah. I can't handle it. I enough of this. We can't. The only way you achieve peace is with weapons. Oh, really? Is that really the only way you achieve peace is with weapons? I mean, this is amazing. So continue to funnel President Biden more, you know, billions of dollars of weapons into Ukraine. Keep doing as much as you can to prolong this proxy war. And now the president out there using the term genocide. So President Biden taking to the podium to criticize Vladimir Putin and to say, and really the ship has now sailed. When you use the word genocide, you're not putting that genie back in the bottle. Like, no. That's it. He gets up there in this speech and he says, by the way, all the prices you're paying more for in Iowa here, when he gave this speech, all the gas prices, all the food at home that's going up in price, it's because of Putin's price hike. And I guess because maybe that hasn't resonated with people and people aren't buying it, they're switching it up now. And now it's Putin's genocide that's going to drive these numbers. Here's President Biden with his little speech about this. Listen.
Putin's invasion of Ukraine has driven up gas prices and food prices all over the world. We saw today's inflation data. 70% of the increase in prices in March came from Putin's price hike in gasoline. I'm doing everything within my power by executive orders to bring down the price and address the Putin price hike. In fact, we've already made progress since March inflation data was collected. Your family budget, your ability to fill up your tank, none of it should hinge on whether a dictator declares war and commits genocide in a half a war.
Okay, we do have to point out that he has bird poop on his shoulder. So the animal kingdom does not condone this.
So as he's taught, this is amazing. This is an amazing moment, right? So as he's literally taking a dump on all of us with this with this total bullshit that he's spewing, right? Total bullshit. He's a bird literally shits on the president while he's spewing this bullshit. So let's play this a little bit closer. You can get a closer look on this.
Putin's invasion of Ukraine has driven up
gas prices. That's not the one. That's not the actual pooping.
We saw today's inflation data.
There it is.
70% of the
see it on his shoulder.
Yeah, no, we have video of it, of the poop actually landing. If you are interested,
I'm here today to talk about.
See, after he says no hypocrisy or something.
What's that?
Keep going. Keep going. I'll point it out.
Rural America at the center of our efforts.
He says that's not hyperbole.
That's made in America.
And then the poop drops.
That's not hyperbole.
Right here.
It's about being made in America.
Watch it.
A lot of that has to do with
there it goes. Okay. Not hyperbole. It's like a, it's a very dry poop, boom, too. Normally bird poop is a bit wetter than that, but
boom.
Anyway, so that's bird shit.
Yeah.
That you're seeing. That message is bird shit.
Unbelievable. And, you know, it's amazing. So he comes out, he says, he talks about Putin's price hike, then he talks about Putin's genocide. Once you level that charge, you know, you cannot put that genie back.
Also, once you see it, then I can't see anything else in what he's saying there's bird poop. It's like the fly
Mike Pence's head.
He's saying words, and I'll try and not be a 5-year-old
try to pull it together because this is important. So this is how Bloomberg responded to this this afternoon
the bird poop.
No, when he uses the word genocide, I think she asks a spot on question here about genocide and the response. Listen to his response on Bloomberg. I think it's spot on. Listen.
What is the significance of the president's use of the word genocide?
Yeah, it's a political significance, really. What it says is that, you know, there's nowhere to go after you've accused another country of genocide. There's nothing worse that you can say. And essentially, it says that there's an acceptance on the U.S. side, on the Western side, if you like, as well as on the Russian side, that peace talks, a diplomatic solution is just not possible at the moment. And it's really all about getting weapons into Ukraine. And the next fight on the ground. And so that, you know, allied with the genocide comments, the U.S. also announced another $750 million worth of arms to go to Ukraine. So it really is a rather pessimistic moment. And on the other side, you had President Putin saying very clearly yesterday that peace talks are at a dead end.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. That's all it is. I'm using this word. That means peace talks are... First of all, though, there is no move towards peace talks. There's no discussion of peace talks. So this idea that there was like all kinds of peace being talked about and there was big meetings on peace and we're really pushing for peace, you don't hear that at all from the White House.
No.
You don't see the President of the United States making any effort at all to make sure that arms are not going flowing into this region, putting pressure on Vladimir Zelensky to come to the table on peace talks. And there's none of that.
Similarly, Putin has used the word genocide, saying he's going in to save Russian people from the Donbas who are experiencing genocide. So both of them are using this word to justify aggression.
Well, and thousands of people have been killed in the Donbas region since 2014. I mean, there has been a genocide unfolding in that region for years that the Western media has oddly ignored. They only choose to pick and show parts of it. We've documented it here on the show that there has been an absolute genocide unfolding in that region for years.
Yes.
So, okay, are we not allowed to talk about that? We can't talk about that.
Now what Biden said earlier this afternoon was that what Putin is doing is trying to remove what it even means to be Ukraine. Like, remove the race, take the race off. Like, there will be no such thing, right? So, yes, these words are getting increasingly serious to justify what the United States wants to do, which seems to be not just military domination, but also financial domination.
Right. So we also have, let's see. Yes. Let's talk about, we're going to talk about Biden's approval ratings in a moment, and then inflation inflating, among other things. You want to tell us about Finland, though?
Sure. Well, I think that was a piece of that story, is that as NATO continues to move west and continues to sort of enslave other nations inside of their war and the wars that they want, now the president of Finland has said we've filed our application to NATO. What she specifically said was we have filed some kind of internal paperwork to do the research to make sure that it works for Finland. Now, just earlier this week, Vladimir Putin said, Sweden and Finland, you better knock this off. This is a non-starter. Stop saying you're going to join NATO. Well, Finland didn't listen. They are ready to go full steam ahead.
Mm-hmm. So people want to know about George Soros. And see here, Action Jackson says, can you please explain George Soros' connection to Ukraine? I saw he popped up on Russian Defense Ministry diagram and Russians want to arrest him, apparently. There have been suggestions, of course, and supported with fact, but if you read the USA Today, you'll get fact-checked where it says this is not true, but it absolutely is, where George Soros funded the uprising in Ukraine and the overthrow of the former Ukrainian president to install a puppet regime in this area. Absolutely the case. So the flowing of money into this region, the puppet government that's been set up as a result of it, a proxy war that's now unfolding, it's all part of a design. Just follow the money, guys. Just follow the money. So thank you for the $5 super chat.
All right, we're going to tell you about how to manage your money in a smart way. If you have a small business, we want to tell you about Novo. Fortune favors the bold, the strong, and the brave. For your business to break out of anything holding you back, you need business checking as brave as you are. And that's why we want to tell you about Novo Business Checking. It is simple and powerful and easy to do and easy to use. We have been customers of Novo, and unlike a traditional banking model, Novo has no minimum balance requirement, no transaction limits, and no hidden fees. In fact, very few fees at all, in fact. And when you need help from Novo, they don't have a physical presence in your town because they are online, and their customer service is lickety-split, super fast. Instead of a one-size-fits-all approach, Novo is customized to your business, and it will save you time and free up your cash flow. And it seamlessly integrates to Stripe, Shopify, QuickBooks, online, and more. So sign up for your free business checking account right now at novo.co/invest. Plus, our listeners get access to over $5,000 in perks and discounts. So that is novo.co/invest to sign up for free. That's novo.co/invest. Novo Platform is a fintech, not a bank, so banking services will be provided by Middlesex Federal Savings FA, member of the FDIC. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, let's talk about President Biden, and let's talk about his record low approval ratings. So President Biden has been rolling out this new plan for America, again, calling it by President Putin's price hike, and plans to roll out additional incentives at the White House to make sure that you're not paying for as much as possible. But now inflation is getting so out of hand that his approval ratings are so low that I don't know that he's going to be able to get back from this. Even Joe Manchin, Democrat Joe Manchin, is speaking out against this. He wonders, how bad is it going to get? How much further can this go?
Index of 10.6%. Even Joe Manchin, a Democrat, is slamming the administration for this slow response on inflation. He writes, when will this end? It is a disservice to the American people to act as if inflation is a new phenomenon. The American people deserve the truth about why record inflation is happening. Former Council of Economic Advisors Chairman Kevin Hassett was with me yesterday.
So why is this happening?
Well, okay. What are you saying? What is happening? Because the inflation number we're going to talk about next, but why is Joe Biden's approval rating happening?
Why he asked the question, Joe Manchin asked the question, why is this inflation happening? And like, you really want the answer, Joe? Like, Joe, both of Joes, you really want the answer?
Well, I think it's fair for him to ask because he has not been one who's approving government spending, right?
Joe Manchin picking and choosing the government spending.
Fine, but he can ask, saying, I'm not the one who wanted to do all of this spending, right? So, okay, fair enough, right? We can skip to the next. You want to talk about inflation? We can.
Where?
Okay. Well, we're supposed to talk about that next, but specifically, okay, we're talking about Joe Biden.
Right. Which is all tied to this.
Okay. So let's talk about those together.
Okay.
So the president's approval rating now is at 38%, which is really, really low. Anytime even President Trump, who the media loved to tell you how much everybody hated him, was still like in the low 40s, and in the 30s is when they were really salivating. Like, everyone hates Trump. We told you, right? Now the media seems to cover Biden's low approval rating as like, well, maybe it's the economy. We don't know, because the media wants you to love Joe Biden. I'm not telling you how to feel at all, but I do think that there's a difference in tone that is worth noting, right? But when you break it down piece by piece, what are the things that people specifically give him a low rating on? The economy is probably the one thing that people find the most upsetting. 38% with 38% approve. That means 53% disapprove. But when it comes to his handling of the war, that's the thing he's rated the highest on. So 40% of people approve how he has handled the, and I'm specifically talking about the war in Ukraine. We should remember there are about a dozen wars raging right now. But specifically, this is the one the media is focused on. And his new proposal to tax unrealized gains split the country with 43% in favor. I would say those 43% don't actually understand what that is, but maybe they do and they still support it. If so, I have many questions for you. But yes, it really was the economy that he's trending so low on.
I mean, one Democratic strategist is saying this is going to be a biblical disaster, the midterm elections. The reality is, he says, we are in as Democrats and no one wants to face it. This is the reality we're in and no one wants to face it.
I don't know, though. Can we make it a them? Do we have to make it so polarized? Because Trump's approval rating was low. Biden's approval rating is low. Maybe it's just that all Americans don't trust either side.
I mean, the overall, yes, many Americans don't support either party. I mean, there's a huge, I mean, over 100 million Americans don't vote because they hate either party. There's a huge opportunity for people to reach out and to capture those people, but they don't. They want to keep this slim. They want to keep this, us fighting each other.
Yeah.
That's the way it is. They say the jobs argument isn't resonating with voters who are paying higher prices at the grocery store. They're getting hit in the wallet on everyday items and they're seeing it. And remember, you go back to James Carville, who, of course, was President Clinton's advisor back in the day and campaign advisor, and brilliantly said and had it up on the in the war room when he was running for president at the time against George H.W. Bush. It said, "It's the economy, stupid." That's it. It was one simple phrase. It was on the war room in the Clinton strategy area that said, "It's the economy, stupid." Always keep it about the economy. And that's what it is. That's what all, at the end of the day, that's all Americans care about. They care about their families. They care about the amount of money that it costs them to take their kids to soccer practice. They care about how much money it costs to put dinner on the table. That's it. And, you know, again, they can see the phony propaganda that's being fed to them on television. Yeah. So here's the thing. They can try to spin as much propaganda as they want about how it affects you and your family. They can try the Putin price hike bullshit. They can try all of these things that make no sense and are not accurate. It doesn't matter because you feel it at home. You feel it at the gas pump. You feel it in your own paycheck. You see how much your rent is. You know that it's going up, right? That thing, those are the things they can't fudge. But propaganda, they can absolutely fudge this war.
Yes.
They can give you this propaganda and tell you what to think about Ukraine, about Putin, about what missiles and money are being sent to help these poor Ukrainian children, et cetera. They can absolutely use the propaganda machine to do that. And that's why foreign policy has always helped a president's approval ratings. It can sink it or it can make it rise. And they have so much more control over foreign policy propaganda than they do economic propaganda that's affecting you and your family.
Yes. Yeah. Well, speaking of the numbers, just yesterday we reported that the consumer price index was at 8.5%. That means that the things that you are buying in your grocery cart right now is costing you 8.5% more this month than it did at the same time last year. But now we have an additional number to add to that. The wholesale price index is up a record 11.2%. That means that the things that it costs, that the raw material that businesses are using to make the products that you then buy is costing businesses 11.4%, which is interesting because if their costs are so much higher, and your costs have only gone up 8.5%, it means they have more inflated costs to pass on to you. So your pain may not end here.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, we've heard from big companies who are trying to sound like that they're like Captain America. You know, they're the warriors. And they're saying, hey, we've shouldered the burden as a big company. So we are eating some of these costs and not passing on the higher prices to you. It could be much worse. We're reaching into our own profits to make sure that you're not paying as much for Charmin for your bag of trail mix or nuts or whatever. And we are the good guys. So
but it does seem like most of those costs of producing things are gas related. So it's like, you know, taking the raw material from farm to factory or shipping things from. So given that there is some relief at the pump recently, maybe those numbers will go down. But still, there were indices for not just gasoline, but vegetables, iron, scrap metal, and electric power also moved higher. Those things don't necessarily trend with gas prices.
Yeah. Well, again, they're trying to be the warriors here and pretending that, like, they're, you know, they're eating all of this. They're taking the pain for you.
Like schooner tuna.
Right. That is. It's like Mr. Mom moment, like schooner tuna.
He's like, we're going to lower our prices temporarily in these hard market times.
Yeah. So we're gonna cut our costs and we're gonna cut things down to bare minimum.
Yeah,
keep our profits
American
down.
The American tuna,
schooner tuna.
Okay, that's fictitious. That's from Mr. Mom.
But Democrats have a real. I mean, let's go back to politics here. I mean, Democrats have a real problem on their hands. Like they can't. You really can't spin this, and they're gonna try, and it is gonna be an absolute bloodbath in the fall for Democrats. And if they're gonna continue to be out there pushing, ridiculous woke agenda items, like these are the things they're focused on. Most Americans don't give a shit about it. Most Americans care about putting food on the table and how much it costs to get from point A to point B. That's the bottom line. So if you want to focus on these other ridiculous items right now, you want to focus on putting more, different genders or not calling it a gender or whatever. That's the item you want to focus on. And you want to go all in on your Disney outrage about who's in their new films and who's not. And are they standing up to Ron DeSantis? I'm telling you what, most Americans don't give a shit. They'd rather focus on this and fixing this because this is getting out of control.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Well, who knows? Who knows? Who knows? Well, we want you to trade like a pro with our friends over at Moomoo. Now, last night on the show, I told you, if you're watching our show, how I'm going to create a new account, a cheap account, where you guys can start to learn and trade like a pro along with me. And we'll start with like $100 or $500, something relatively small. Obviously, a lot of big day traders use like thousands of dollars. So we're going to start small. We'll do a low balance account. And download Moomoo. Here's what I want you to do. When you go to redacted.inc/Moomoo, download the app on your iPhone or your desktop or wherever, and you're going to get a bunch of free stocks when you do that, which is awesome. Okay, just for signing up. And then make a small deposit. And then what we're going to do here on the show is we're going to track my account. I do day trading during the day. I make trades all the time. Like I said yesterday, made some really good trades. Made some really good money. Today, this afternoon, I was actually out with the family doing some sightseeing with the family. And I actually made a trade during I had like a coffee break. And when the market was in motion, and made a trade during a coffee break using Moomoo and managed to make some really good money just on a coffee break. So you can do this as well. And you don't have to use a lot of money. So go to redacted.inc/Moomoo, download the trading app. You can buy crypto, you can buy stocks, and you can start to learn. And that's what we're going to do here. So start downloading it this week. And then next week, we're going to start to take a closer look at my account. And we'll sort of set up a very cheap account so you can follow along and just use a little bit of money. I mean, God knows, with all of this money right now, like we're talking about, Anthony in our chat says gas is like $3.97. Annie Marie says $4.42 for gas. Prices are going up all over the place. Housing, food prices, everything. It's now time to take control of your finances. Start making some money. Wall Street shouldn't be the people that make all this money. You guys need to be able to make a few extra $1,000 a month. Okay? Be able to do this yourself and learn, and we'll show you how to do that. So that's my goal. All right, go to redacted.inc/Moomoo. To get those free stocks today and sign up.
Well, thank you for joining us back on whatever platform you joined us on. We are thrilled to see some familiar faces and screen names back, and we're thrilled to be with the new members of our audience as well. We will be back tomorrow, same time. We broadcast at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, and we welcome your comments very much. And also, we remind you that our show is now Monday through Thursday, so you won't see us on Friday. Join us here tomorrow. We'll be right here with our butts in these same places.
That's right.
So, we bring our butts, you bring yours.
That's right.
I'll bring mine.
No butts about it. So we apologize for some of the technical problems today. We had to restart the stream. We think it was a restream.io issue. So who knows? And I think Restream actually is a Ukrainian company. So who knows what their infrastructure is like? I don't know. But that's our main streaming software that we use.
Sometimes, Clayton, you exhaust me with all the leaps that we're making, and they end up being true.
Stop predicting the future, Clayton. Yeah.
I'm telling you.
I'm going. Goodbye.
No, I say these things. It's funny, like stuff I've said on this show 6 months ago, it's like all happened now, you know, and Natalie's like, oh my God, this is really happening.
Yeah.
This is really
Clayton is a very exhausting person. I hope that you enjoy having him in your life. And then I try and pull it back a little. I'm like, but really, are we going to say that? And then, yeah, we say those things. So. Right.
And the ends up being true. Watch The Water. Have you heard about this documentary, Watch The Water? It's worth a look if you have spare time.
No, but I'll write it down.
We're going to write it down right now. Okay. Let's watch it. Lisa Pettit says, it's because he's a man. My husband exhausts me too. Yeah. Should I show them my favorite meme?
No. No. No, I'm leaving. I'm tired. All right. Good night, everybody. We had some super chats. We had one from Philip. We had one that we addressed about the Rumble.
I want to start doing with the show, I think once the whole new production is built, they're slowly building out the whole new production, is to have super chats be a part of the show. Right. I think that's the goal.
Yeah. I usually throw them in. It depends on how relevant they are to the story, because we do clip these out. And so usually sometimes they come in late to the story. And so then I save them so that at the end I can push them. Cause we did have one that we didn't cover, and that was from, Outstanding Entertainment, but it was a $20 super chat. I'm so glad y'all don't label us color people as blacks, but as brown people, it's no such, back is an evil, dark place. Us color people is either really dark brown or a really light brown. Do your research, people. And then you covered the other ones. There was the one about Soros, and then the one you just read.
Okay. Yeah.
Kalina says, you guys left YouTube permanently or temporarily? We were banned for a week, and they gave us a channel violation. We currently have an active community guideline strike. So that's what we currently have. And again, for spreading medical misinformation, which was Pfizer's own documents. I mean, I still cannot wrap my head around how that is spreading medical misinformation. And it comes from Pfizer's own trial data that we reported here on the show.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it's the Jim Carrey, like the, what was it? The liar, liar, where he's like he objects, and the judge is like, well, object to what? And he's like, well, it's damaging to my case.
Yeah. That's right. Right. That's a good one. Yeah. Okay, we're going. We'll see you tomorrow, you guys. Thank you so much for joining us.
She knew what I was doing, because I was trying to find my meme. Everyone's like, show the meme, show the meme, show the meme. And she's not going to let me. So
we're going.
This is exactly why the meme is great, because she won't even let me show the meme, which, I mean, it's so
maybe macro. Tomorrow. We'll tune in tomorrow.
All right, love you guys. We'll see you guys tomorrow, everyone. Bye.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.